go.
Try this show.
Nothing feels better than to know you, and nothing's more important than to show you that nothing comes close to what the vibe is. Nothing's more exciting than the time spent with you. No one but you can love me true. How you love me when you love me, and you tell me everything is gonna be alright. Yeah, and you mean the world to me. You are my everything, and I never, no, never, never ever wanna know what it's like without you. I wanna wake up to you every day. I think I feel like this forever. As long as we're together, wanna know you each and every way. I promise to be honest when I speak to you. Wanna put you at the top of my list. Wanna walk it like I'm talking, wanna give you everything. Please tell me that you're rocking with this. You know all the ways to speak to me. I like it when it's just us talking, and you don't hold it against me. That you don't really need me for nothing, but I need you for everything. And when I'm honest with you, telling you my issue, you keep it official every time I kick it with you. It's no games, no games, oh, don't change, huh? You mean the world to me. You are my everything, and I never, no, never, never ever wanna know what it's like without you. I wanna wake up to you every day. I think I feel like this forever. As long as we're together, wanna know you each and every way. I promise to be honest when I speak to you. Wanna put you at the top of my list. Wanna walk it like I'm talking, wanna give you everything. Please tell me that you're rocking with this. You know all the ways to speak to me. I wanna wake up to you every day. I think I feel like this forever. As long as we're together, wanna know you each and every way. I promise to be honest when I speak to you. Wanna put you at the top of my list. Wanna walk it like I'm talking, wanna give you everything. Please tell me that you're rocking with this. You know all the ways to speak to me.
Hello. My name is Sister Rebecca Johnson, and I want to welcome all of you to Runner for Christ Ministries Interactive Bible Reading Class. We thank God for each one of you that join in with us every week, and we ask that you help us by letting someone else know that this Bible class is here on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, we will be reading the book of Micah, chapters 1 through 7, and following that, we will begin answering the review questions. If you need the questions, go to rfcm.org and click on Bible classes. Again, that's rfcm.org and click on Bible classes. If you would like to take part in answering the review questions or make a comment, just press the number 1 and I will put you in the host queue, and your mic will be open for you to answer or ask a question, or make a comment. This means that your mic will remain open for the entire class. Please do us a huge favor by protecting our ears from all background noises. A good way to do this is to simply keep your phone muted whenever you're not speaking, and unmuting only when you want to speak. At the same time, we look forward to hearing your comments and questions. Let us pray. Precious Lord, giver of life, thank you that you hear and answer our prayers. Thank you for your presence as we look intently into your word. I ask that you give each one of us a revelation and a new understanding of you as we eat this spiritual meat and vegetables. We are all here to receive more and more of your kindness and peace. Thank you, Lord, that we are taking this opportunity to serve you, and I ask that you bless each person that is attending or listening now or will attend in the future, and bless the teacher to have a class that pleases you. We thank you and ask for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we will listen to Micah chapters 1 through 7, and I will see you on the other side.
Micah chapter 1. The Lord gave these messages to Micah of Moresheth during the years when Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah were kings of Judah. The messages concerned both Samaria and Jerusalem, and they came to Micah in the form of visions. Attention, let all the people of the world listen. The sovereign Lord has made accusations against you. The Lord speaks from his holy temple. Look, the Lord is coming. He leaves his throne in heaven and comes to earth, walking on the high places. They melt beneath his feet and flow into the valleys like wax in a fire, like water pouring down a hill. And why is this happening? Because of the sins and rebellion of Israel and Judah. Who is to blame for Israel's rebellion? Samaria, its capital city. Where is the center of idolatry in Judah? In Jerusalem, its capital. So I, the Lord, will make the city of Samaria a heap of rubble. Her streets will be plowed up for planting vineyards. I will roll the stones of her walls down into the valley below, exposing all her foundations. All her carved images will be smashed to pieces. All her sacred treasures will be burned up. These things were bought with the money earned by her prostitution, and they will now be carried away to pay prostitutes elsewhere. Because of all this, I will mourn and lament. I will walk around naked and barefoot in sorrow and shame. I will howl like a jackal and wail like an ostrich, for my people's wound is far too deep to heal. It has reached into Judah, even to the gates of Jerusalem. Don't tell our enemies in the city of Gath. Don't weep at all, you people in Beth Niaphra. Roll in the dust to show your anguish and despair. You people of Shephir, go as captives into exile, naked and ashamed. The people of Zaanan dare not come outside their walls. The people of Beth Israel mourn because the very foundations of their city have been swept away. The people of Meroth anxiously wait for relief, but only bitterness awaits them as the Lord's judgment reaches even to the gates of Jerusalem. Quick, use your swiftest chariots and flee, you people of Lachish. You were the first city in Judah to follow Israel in the sin of idol worship, and so you led Jerusalem into sin. Send a farewell gift to Moresheth Gath. There is no hope of saving it. The town of Achzib has deceived the kings of Israel, for it promised help it could not give. You people of Marashah, I will bring a conqueror to capture your town, and the leaders of Israel will go to Adullam. Weep, you people of Judah, shave your heads in sorrow, for the children you love will be snatched away, and you will never see them again. Make yourselves as bald as an eagle, for your little ones will be exiled to distant lands. Chapter 2. How terrible it will be for you who lie awake at night thinking up evil plans. You rise at dawn and hurry to carry out any of the wicked schemes you have power to accomplish. When you want a certain piece of land, you find a way to seize it. When you want someone's house, you take it by fraud and violence. No one's family or inheritance is safe with you around. But this is what the Lord says. I will reward your evil with evil. You won't be able to escape. After I am through with you, none of you will ever again walk proudly in the streets. In that day, your enemies will make fun of you by singing this song of despair about your experience. We are finished, completely ruined. God has confiscated our land, taking it from us. He has given our fields to those who betrayed us. Others will set your boundaries then, and the Lord's people will have no say in how the land is divided. Don't say such things, the people say. Don't prophesy like that. Such disasters will never come our way. Should you talk that way, O family of Israel, will the Lord have patience with such behavior? If you would do what is right, you would find my words to be good. Yet to this very hour my people rise against me. You steal the shirts right off the backs of those who trusted you, making them as ragged as men who have just come home from battle. You have evicted women from their homes and stripped their children of all their God-given rights. Up, be gone. This is no longer your land and home, for you have filled it with sin and ruined it completely. Suppose a prophet full of lies were to say to you, I'll preach to you the joys of wine and drink. That's just the kind of prophet you would like. Someday, O Israel, I will gather the few of you who are left. I will bring you together again like sheep in a fold, like a flock in its pasture. Yes, your land will again be filled with noisy crowds. Your leader will break out and lead you out of exile. He will bring you through the gates of your cities of captivity, back to your own land. Your king will lead you. The Lord himself will guide you. Chapter 3. Listen, you leaders of Israel. You are supposed to know right from wrong, but you are the very ones who hate good and love evil. You skin my people alive and tear the flesh off their bones. You eat my people's flesh, cut away their skin, and break their bones. You chop them up like meat for the cooking pot. Then you beg the Lord for help in times of trouble. Do you really expect him to listen? After all the evil you have done, he won't even look at you. This is what the Lord says to you false prophets. You are leading my people astray. You promise peace for those who give you food, but you declare war on anyone who refuses to pay you. Now the night will close around you, cutting off all your visions. Darkness will cover you, making it impossible for you to predict the future. The sun will set for you prophets, and your day will come to an end. Then you seers will cover your faces in shame, and you diviners will be disgraced. And you will admit that your messages were not from God. But as for me, I am filled with power and the Spirit of the Lord. I am filled with justice and might, fearlessly pointing out Israel's sin and rebellion. Listen to me, you leaders of Israel. You hate justice and twist all that is right. You are building Jerusalem on a foundation of murder and corruption. You rulers govern for the bribes you can get. You priests teach God's law only for a price. You prophets won't prophesy unless you are paid. Yet all of you claim you are depending on the Lord. No harm can come to us, you say, for the Lord is here among us. So because of you, Mount Zion will be plowed like an open field. Jerusalem will be reduced to rubble. A great forest will grow on the hilltop where the temple now stands. Chapter 4. In the last days, the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem will become the most important place on earth. People from all over the world will go there to worship. Many nations will come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Israel. There he will teach us his ways, so that we may obey him. For in those days the Lord's teaching and his word will go out from Jerusalem. The Lord will settle international disputes. All the nations will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. All wars will stop, and military training will come to an end. Everyone will live quietly in their own homes in peace and prosperity, for there will be nothing to fear. The Lord Almighty has promised this. Even though the nations around us worship idols, we will follow the Lord our God forever and ever. In that coming day, says the Lord, I will gather together my people who are lame, who have been exiles, filled with grief. They are weak and far from home, but I will make them strong again, a mighty nation. Then I, the Lord, will rule from Jerusalem as their king forever. As for you, O Jerusalem, the citadel of God's people, your royal might and power will come back to you again. The kingship will be restored to my precious Jerusalem. But why are you now screaming in terror? Have you no king to lead you? He is dead. Have you no wise people to counsel you? All are gone. Pain has gripped you like it does a woman in labor. Writhe and groan in terrible pain, you people of Jerusalem, for you must leave this city to live in the open fields. You will soon be sent into exile in distant Babylon, but the Lord will rescue you there. He will redeem you from the grip of your enemies. True, many nations have gathered together against you, calling for your blood, eager to gloat over your destruction, but they do not know the Lord's thoughts or understand his plan. These nations don't know that he is gathering them together to be beaten and trampled like bundles of grain on a threshing floor. Rise up and destroy the nations, O Jerusalem, says the Lord, for I will give you iron horns and bronze hooves, so you can trample many nations to pieces. Then you will give all the wealth they acquired as offerings to me, the Lord of all the earth. Chapter 5. Mobilize, marshal your troops. The enemy is laying siege to Jerusalem. With a rod they will strike the leader of Israel in the face. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, are only a small village in Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel will come from you, one whose origins are from the distant past. The people of Israel will be abandoned to their enemies until the time when the woman in labor gives birth to a son. Then at last his fellow countrymen will return from exile to their own land, and he will stand to lead his flock with the Lord's strength in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. Then his people will live there undisturbed, for he will be highly honored all around the world, and he will be the source of our peace. When the Assyrians invade our land and break through our defenses, we will appoint 7 rulers to watch over us, 8 princes to lead us. They will rule Assyria with drawn swords and enter the gates of the land of Nimrod. They will rescue us from the Assyrians when they pour over the borders to invade our land. Then the few left in Israel will go out among the nations. They will be like dew sent by the Lord, or like rain falling on the grass, which no one can hold back. The remnant of Israel will go out among the nations and be as strong as a lion, and the other nations will be like helpless sheep with no one to rescue them. The people of Israel will stand up to their foes, and all their enemies will be wiped out. At that same time, says the Lord, I will destroy all your weapons, your horses and chariots. I will tear down your walls and demolish the defenses of your cities. I will put an end to all witchcraft. There will be no more fortune tellers to consult. I will destroy all your idols and sacred pillars, so you will never again worship the work of your own hands. I will abolish your pagan shrines with their Asherah poles and destroy the cities where your idol temples stand. I will pour out my vengeance on all the nations that refuse to obey. Chapter 6. Listen to what the Lord is saying. Stand up and state your case against me. Let the mountains and hills be called to witness your complaints. And now, O mountains, listen to the Lord's complaint. He has a case against his people Israel. He will prosecute them to the full extent of the law. O my people, what have I done to make you turn from me? Tell me why your patience is exhausted. Answer me, for I brought you out of Egypt and redeemed you from your slavery. I sent Moses, Aaron, and Miriam to help you. Don't you remember, my people, how King Balak of Moab tried to have you cursed, and how Balaam, son of Beor, blessed you instead? And remember your journey from Acacia to Gilgal, when I, the Lord, did everything I could to teach you about my faithfulness. What can we bring to the Lord to make up for what we've done? Should we bow before God with offerings of yearling calves? Should we offer him thousands of rams and tens of thousands of rivers of olive oil? Would that please the Lord? Should we sacrifice our firstborn children to pay for the sins of our souls? Would that make him glad? No, O people, the Lord has already told you what is good, and this is what he requires, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Listen, fear the Lord if you are wise. His voice is calling out to everyone in Jerusalem. The armies of destruction are coming. The Lord is sending them. Will there be no end of your getting rich by cheating? The homes of the wicked are filled with treasures gained by dishonestly measuring out grain in short measures. And how can I tolerate all your merchants who use dishonest scales and weights? The rich among you have become wealthy through extortion and violence. Your citizens are so used to lying that their tongues can no longer tell the truth. Therefore, I will wound you. I will bring you to ruin for all your sins. You will eat, but never have enough. Your hunger pangs and emptiness will still remain. And though you try to save your money, it will come to nothing in the end. You will save a little, but I will give it to those who conquer you. You will plant crops, but not harvest them. You will press your olives, but not get enough oil to anoint yourselves. You will trample the grapes, but get no juice to make your wine. The only laws you keep are those of evil King Omri. The only example you follow is that of wicked King Ahab. Therefore, I will make an example of you, bringing you to complete ruin. You will be treated with contempt, mocked by all who see you. Chapter 7. What misery is mine! I feel like the fruit picker after the harvest who can find nothing to eat. Not a cluster of grapes or a single fig can be found to satisfy my hunger. The godly people have all disappeared. Not one fair-minded person is left on the earth. They are all murderers, even setting traps for their own brothers. They go about their evil deeds with both hands. How skilled they are at using them. Officials and judges alike demand bribes. The people with money and influence pay them off, and together they scheme to twist justice. Even the best of them is like a briar. The straightest is more crooked than a hedge of thorns. But your judgment day is coming swiftly now. Your time of punishment is here. Don't trust anyone, not your best friend or even your wife. For the son despises his father. The daughter defies her mother. The daughter-in-law defies her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be right in your own household. As for me, I look to the Lord for his help. I wait confidently for God to save me, and my God will certainly hear me. Do not gloat over me, my enemies, for though I fall, I will rise again. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord himself will be my light. I will be patient as the Lord punishes me, for I have sinned against him. But after that, he will take up my case and punish my enemies for all the evil they have done to me. The Lord will bring me out of my darkness into the light, and I will see his righteousness. Then my enemies will see that the Lord is on my side. They will be ashamed that they taunted me, saying, "Where is the Lord, that God of yours?" With my own eyes I will see them trampled down like mud in the streets. In that day, Israel, your cities will be rebuilt, and your borders will be extended. People from many lands will come and honor you, from Assyria all the way to the towns of Egypt, and from Egypt all the way to the Euphrates River, and from many distant seas and mountains. But the land will become empty and desolate because of the wickedness of those who live there. O Lord, come and rule your people. Lead your flock in green pastures. Help them to live in peace and prosperity. Let them enjoy the fertile pastures of Bashan and Gilead as they did long ago. Yes, says the Lord, I will do mighty miracles for you like those I did when I rescued you from slavery in Egypt. All the nations of the world will stand amazed at what the Lord will do for you. They will be embarrassed that their power is so significant. They will stand in silent awe, deaf to everything around them. They will come to realize what lowly creatures they really are. Like snakes crawling from their holes, they will come out to meet the Lord our God. They will fear him greatly, trembling in terror at his presence. Where is another God like you, who pardons the sins of the survivors among his people? You cannot stay angry with your people forever, because you delight in showing mercy. Once again, you will have compassion on us. You will trample our sins under your feet and throw them into the depths of the ocean. You will show us your faithfulness and unfailing love, as you promised with an oath to our ancestors Abraham and Jacob long ago.
Hello. So happy to have you join us. Welcome to the class that you can never graduate. Please know that I'm teaching this class, but at the same time, I'm learning. So feel free to ask questions, and if I don't have the answer, Pastor O will. So as an overview of all the chapters, Micah and all the other prophets spoke on God's behalf to accuse Israel. All the prophets had the same message. He and Isaiah and Hosea lived at the same time. Micah shines a light on Israel's rebellion. There's a back and forth between judgment and hope. After 500 years of rebellion, the Lord is coming to punish. So let's get started with question number one. Which two sins are identified in Micah's message?
At chapter 1, verse 5, and then I had footnote 1:5.
Agreed. Will you read that, please?
And why is this happening? Because of the rebellion of Israel? Yes, the sins of a whole nation. Who is to blame for Israel's rebellion? Samaria, its capital city. Where is the center of idolatry in Judah? In Jerusalem, its capital. Footnote reads, two sins are identified in Micah's message. the perversion of worship and injustice towards others, rampant in the capital cities where sins infiltrated and affected the entire country. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's a general description of the sins that Micah identified in chapter 1, but throughout the chapters, he is more specific about what the sins and the transgressions are, how the rebellion looked, and what the people did. So we'll take a closer look at the specifics in the next chapters. So question number 2 is, what will happen to the children?
So I have 116.
That is what I was looking for, yes.
Okay, and it says, O people of Judah, shave your heads in sorrow, for the children you have will be snatched away. Make yourselves as bald as vultures, for your little ones will be exiled to distant lands. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. There's a footnote, too. Would someone like to read the footnote?
I'll read that as well. Micah pictured the devastating sorrow of parents seeing their children taken away to be slaves in a distant land. This happened frequently in both Israel and Judah, most horribly when each nation was completely conquered. Israel in 722 B.C. and Judah in 586 B.C.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Question number 3. Oh, are there any questions?
No.
Okay. Question number 3 is, what is the reward of those that lie awake at night thinking up evil plans?
Chapter 2, 1 and 2. And
Would you read all the way to 3?
Yeah, that's what I had.
I certainly
1
can.
Through 3?
Okay.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. What sorrow awaits you who lies awake at night, thinking of evil plans? Your eyes are dumb and hurry to carry them out, simply because you have the power to do so. When you want a piece of land, you find a way to seize it. When you want someone's house, you take it by fraud and violence, and you cheat a man of his property, stealing his family inheritance. But this is what the Lord says: I will reward your evil with evil. You won't be able to pull your neck out of the noose. You will no longer walk around proudly, for it will be a terrible time.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So this is the details of the type of rebellion that the people were doing. And so they were taking people's property by fraud and violence. And I think that David's son, King Ahaz and Jezebel were the first examples of that. And then people seem to follow suit after the evil King Ahaz. Okay, question number 4. The people preferred a lying prophet rather than Micah, true or false?
I had 2, 6, and 7, as well as footnote 6, 7.
I had 211.
And that's what I was looking for.
211?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Would you like to read 211 and the footnote?
All right, I will. Thank you. Suppose a prophet full of lies would say to you, I'll preach to you the joys of wine and alcohol. That's just the kind of prophet you would like. But note says the people liked the false prophets who told them only what they wanted to hear. Micah spoke against prophets who engaged the people to feel comfortable in their sin. Preachers are popular when they don't ask too much of us, and when they tell us our greed or lust might even be good for us. But a true teacher of God speaks the truth, regardless of what the listeners want to hear. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Question
right.
number five. What are the leaders supposed to know?
Read verse 1.
Yes, agree. Will you read that for me, please?
I said, listen, you leaders of Israel, you are supposed to know right from wrong.
Amen. Would you also read that footnote?
Yes.
Did you have it?
I had it. Get my glasses straight. The dividing line between right and wrong often seems blurred, but spiritual leaders are supposed to help others see it. The Bible is God's guidebook to show us how to distinguish right and wrong. Spiritual leaders must understand the Bible's principles, teach them clearly, and exemplify them in their lives. While leaders cannot force people to do right, they should point them in that direction.
Amen.
I'm sorry,
Amen.
My glasses.
Thank you. Good to hear you. What did you say?
I said my glasses are not clear.
Oh, is that Mother Marilyn?
Yes,
we got celebrities in class.
All right.
Mother Irma and Mother Marilyn. Okay.
Yeah,
question number six. The priests and prophets only preached and prophesied for money. True or false?
I had true for that one, and I had verse 311.
Agree. Will you read that, please?
The rulers make decisions based on bribes. You priests teach God's law only for a price. You prophets won't prophesy unless you are paid. Yet all of you claim to depend on the Lord. No harm can come to us, you say, for the Lord is here among us. Amen. And then
Amen.
It says, the footnote says, Micah warned the rulers, priests, and prophets of his day to avoid bribes. Pastors today accept bribes when they allow those who are big contributors to control the church. If fear of losing money or members influences pastors to remain silent when they should speak up for what is right, their church is in danger. You should remember that Judah was finally destroyed because of the behavior of the religious leaders. A similar warning must be directed at those who have money. Never use your resources to influence or manipulate God's ministers. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. And so this is mm-hmm. another detail of the sins of the people. So they were accepting bribes, and the people wanted to pay for the message that they wanted to hear instead of the truth.
Right.
Okay. I think we're on question 7. Who will settle disputes?
Hello?
Does anybody have the answer for that one?
Yes, I do. Yeah. I was waiting for to see if somebody else wanted to answer it. I have 4-3.
Okay. Are there any other answers?
I have 4-3 and 4.
Okay. I have, go ahead.
Yeah, I was looking for 4-3. I have Eric.
I have 4-3, too. I've been answering for the longest, but I just got cut on because I didn't push 1. So I came blind past the hole.
Oh, I did that 2 weeks ago. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Would someone like to read verses 3 and 4? You have just 3?
Yes, I had just 3. Okay,
that's still correct. But I'm looking for
chapter
both 3 and 4.
Okay.
Yeah. And
should read it? Oh, I'm sorry. The Lord will meditate between peoples and will settle disputes between strong nations far away.
Yeah, because you skipped the whole line.
Right, okay, don't start with 3. Just 3 and 4. The Lord will meditate between people and will settle disputes between strong nations far away. They will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will no longer fight against nation, nor train for war anymore. Everyone will live in peace and prosperity, enjoying their own grapevines and fig trees, for there will be nothing to fear. Amen. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
Amen.
The Lord of Heaven's army has made his promise. There we go. Now, amen.
Amen. Would someone like to read the footnote?
4-3.
For chapter 4, verses 3 through 4.
I'm not sure.
There are no footnotes.
We don't have one.
Oh, we don't have one. Okay, I'll read what I have.
Okay.
Although God will one day bring universal peace when the Messiah reigns, we must still strive for peace today. Jesus said, God blesses those who work for peace. Pray for those who work for peace between nations and reconciliation between warring parties, and seek peace in your relationships with others. For more on peace, see the first note in Micah 5:5. Okay, we're getting there. Question number 8. What is it that the nations do not know?
4:12. Chapter 4:12.
Yes, that is it.
And it reads, but they do not know the Lord's thoughts or understand his plan. These nations don't know that he is gathering them together. And I'll read the footnote as well. When God reveals the future, his purpose, oh God, I can't see it.
What is it? 4:12? 4:12, you said?
The footnote for 12.
Okay, when God reveals the future, his purpose goes beyond satisfying our courtesy.
Curiosity.
Curiosity. Right, I just looked at that. He wants us to change our present behavior because of what we know about the future. forever begins now, and the glimpse of God's plan for his followers should motivate us to serve him no matter what the rest of the world may do.
Amen.
Amen.
I think we missed part of verse 12.
Right, the last part of it. The ending sentence.
The nations don't know that he is gathering them together.
Okay.
And turn the next over to be beaten and trampled.
Oh, I'm sorry. To be beaten and trampled like sheaves of grain on a threshing floor.
Thank you so much. Amen.
Yes.
Okay, question number 9. Who will be the source of peace in verse 5:5? And all together?
Well, it would be Jesus.
Christ.
Peace is needed.
Messiah.
Yes. Yes. Okay, that was a gimme. Number 10. What will happen to all the nations that refuse to obey?
We have footnote for 5:5.
Oh, yes, let's read the footnote first for 5:5.
As this chapter provides one of the clearest Old Testament prophecies of Christ's coming, the key deceptive phrase is, he will be the source of peace. In one of Christ's final talks, he said, I am leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. John chapter 14:27. Because of Christ's first coming, we have the opportunity to experience peace with God with no more fear of judgment and no more conflict and guilt. Christ's peace gives us assurance even though wars continue. At Christ's second coming, all wars and weapons will be destroyed. Verse 4, 3 to 5. Then there's a second one, 5:5. Micah's prophecy of 7 rulers and 8 princes is a figurative way of saying that the Messiah will raise up many good leaders when he returns to reign. This contrasts with Micah's words in chapter 3 about Judah's corrupt leaders. The Assyrians symbolically refer to all nations in every age that oppress God's people. These good leaders will help Christ defeat all evil in the world. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, right there. That part about the good leaders and all that, the 8 princes and all that. Those are, so that's got to be during our tribulation time. That's got to be with us. I'm assuming. Hello?
I'm not sure.
Okay. All right, then.
So we're talking about the end times when Christ comes to reign. We're a little bit past the tribulation period. When I was listening to this, I loved hearing it because it speaks about, see, Israel, you need to understand when he talks to them, he talks about the millennial reign of Christ. And even though we know about the rapture, they didn't. So the rapture was only mentioned in the New Testament. So it's a New Testament concept, right, that they were totally unfamiliar with. When Jesus was here and Lazarus died, both Mary and Martha told him the same thing when he mentioned the resurrection. I know that he'll rise at the last day. For them, yeah, the last day was when Christ comes to set up his millennial kingdom. That was the last day. They didn't have no idea about a rapture. And so when the prophet speaks, he speaks to that day, to the day when they'll beat all their weapons of war into weapons that are positive things that make things happen good and not the bad. And so that's the time that he's talking about. This is past the seven-year tribulation period. Christ has come back, and we've come back who got raptured. We've come back with him, and those who died during the tribulation period, we've come back with him to reign and to rule for 1,000 years. The reason there will be absolute peace is because Jesus will rule with an iron scepter. There will be no lamb rule. There will be the lion of the tribe of Judah rule. And so no sin will not be tolerated. You know how people say today, if God is so good, why don't you do something about all this sin? Well, in that day, sin will be dealt with instantly. There'll be no courts, no none of that. Now, you ask yourself, will we be the ones who sin against Christ during that time? No. Why? Because we were raptured. And so we have transfigured bodies, glorified bodies. We know everything. I mean, we're clear. You can read about us in Revelation chapter, you know, wherever it mentions the 24 elders. So we won't be those ones. But there will be people who live in mortal bodies through the seven-year tribulation period and come in as believers during the millennial reign. But, of course, when Satan is released, their belief will be superficial, and they'll be the ones who side up with him to turn against Christ. It won't be us. But during that time, there will be peace all over the planet because Jesus, just as he, when Philip went to get Nathanael and brought him to Jesus, and Jesus knew his name, he said, "You believe because I knew your name? I remember when you was under the tree before Philip called you." So his omnipresence will be on full. He'll be all over the planet at once. So sin, wherever it happens, will be dealt with instantaneously. And so that's what it means when it says he'll rule with an iron scepter. But, yeah, that's the time that he's talking about. Micah's going to talk about it. Nahum's going to talk about it. Habakkuk's going to talk about it. And they're all – but when the Old Testament prophets talk, they are talking about the last day, meaning the millennial reign of Christ, because you don't hear about a rapture in the Bible – until you get to the New Testament. And you won't find the word rapture in the Bible either. But what you will find is the action. The word for it, I think, is harpazo. It means snatched away, caught away. In the Latin, it's rapti. But it all means the same thing. It means something that happens in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, that quick. That's how quick the rapture is. The rapture happened right now.
Harpazo,
right. If the rapture happened right now, whoever's around you and they don't get raptured will have to scratch their eyes and then say to themselves, were they really here? Because it'll happen that fast. They won't even believe you were there because it's going to be that fast. And the dead in Christ, those bodies will be glorified, and the people who are with Jesus coming with them, our loved ones who have passed away, they'll be stuffed into those bodies. And us who are alive right now, before we leave here and get there, where we'll meet Jesus in the air, we will have glorified bodies. From here to there, they'll be glorified. And so we'll have bodies like his, like Philippians chapter 3 tells us, because we're kingdom citizens. So, yeah. So short answer is, yeah.
Thank you, Pastor O.
All right.
You're welcome.
I can't wait to get snatched.
That'll be the best snatch we ever got snatched. You know, that'll be the only snatch nobody complained about getting snatched.
Okay. Okay, question number 10. What will happen to all the nations that refuse to obey?
I had 5, 10 through 15.
That's the answer. Would you please read that one?
It says, in that day, says the Lord, I will slaughter your horses and destroy your chariots. I will tear down your walls and demolish your defenses. I will put an end to all witchcraft, and there will be no more fortune tellers. I will destroy all the idols and sacred pillars, so you will never again worship the work of your own hands. I will abolish your idol shrines with their asher poles and destroy your pagan cities. I will pour out my vengeance on all the nations that refuse to obey me.
Amen.
Amen.
I just have 15.
Mm-hmm. Did you want the footnote to read?
Okay, that works.
Okay, so when God rules in his external kingdom, our strength and deliverance will not be found in military might, but in God's almighty power. God will destroy all the weapons that people use for security. Armies will not be needed because God will rule in the heart of every person. Instead of being overwhelmed by fear of invasion or nuclear attack, we should have confidence in God. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Idols, sacred pillars, and asher poles were all a part of pagan worship.
Mm.
Amen.
Would someone like to read the footnote for chapter 5, verse 10 through 14? I think that's a good one.
That's what I just read.
We have 12 through 14. We have 5 and 10 by itself. Then we have 12 through 14.
I just read it. I'll read it again. It says, you got something else?
Yeah, it's different. It's before that one. Do you have that one too? Verses 10 through 14?
It's separate. It says 10, and then it says 5, 12 through 14.
Oh, okay. Well, let me read what I have.
Share yours with us.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It says, horses, chariots, and walls indicated military power. Witchcraft and other kinds of magic were practiced by those who claimed to be able to tell the future and control others. Idols, sacred pillars, and Asherah poles were all used for pagan worship that often included sexual rituals. All of these represent the deep need for purpose and security that all people experience. It is tragic that so many people miss the one and only source of real and lasting purpose and security, which is only found in God.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Whoa. I'm sorry. I was distracted by that beeping. Whenever possible, God's people, compelled by his love, should speak out against all forms of false security and misdirected purpose. Neither military superpower, nor knowledge of the future, nor sexual pleasure will substitute for God's eternal truth.
Amen.
All right. Okay. Question number 11. Who are the witnesses to the Lord's complaint against Israel? Or does someone need to mute?
I have six. I have one and two, or one or one. I wasn't sure.
I have one and two.
You have one and two?
What do you have?
Well, I only have one, but go ahead and read two as
okay,
well.
One is fine. That's cool. One is fine. I didn't know if it was one and two or just one. But that's what I had. My answer would be, listen to what the Lord is saying. Stand up and state your case against me. Let the mountains and hills be called to witness your complaints.
Amen.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. What about the footnote? Do you have that, 6, 1, and 2 as the footnote?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. 6, 1, and 2 is, God called for the mountains to confirm the people's guilt. The mountains will serve as an excellent witness. For it was in the high places that the people had built pagan altars and has sacrificed to false gods. First Kings 14:23, Jeremiah 17:2-3, and Ezekiel 20:28. Those were the ones. God called us. So the mountains confirmed what he saw. He spoke to the mountains and that was his confirmation.
Yeah, they saw everything. Thank you, Eric.
You're welcome. I have no problem. Anytime.
Question number 12. What does the Lord require of us?
I have 6 and 8.
Yes,
six.
That is
okay,
the
God.
Answer.
Yes.
No, oh people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. There is a footnote. People have tried all kinds of ways to please God in verse 6 and 7, but God has made his wishes clear. He wants his people to do what is right, love mercy, and to walk humbly with him. In your efforts to please God, examine these areas on a regular basis. And you fair in your dealings with people? Excuse me, are you fair in dealings with people? Do you show mercy to those who wrong you? Are you learning humility? Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Working on it.
Me too.
Okay. Question number 13. What are the crimes of the people of Israel?
I got 6, 10, 12.
Exactly.
I got 10-12.
May I?
Please. Please do.
Go ahead, she said, please do.
Oh, okay. Okay, let me just talk. What do I say about the home of the church? What about the
I couldn't hear. Would you get speaker and read it again, please?
I'm breaking up.
What shall I say about the homes of the wicked, filled with treasures gained by cheating? What about the disgusting practice of measuring out grain with dishonest measures? How can I tolerate you, your merchants who use dishonest scales to plate? The rich among you become wealthy to extort his mouth. The citizens are so used to lying that their tongues can no longer tell the truth. Amen.
Amen. Yes. Thank you so much.
Yes. You're welcome.
I think that the people of Israel were very wealthy people. And so they were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. Let's see. Number 14.
No, hold on. Did you say they were overfed?
Yeah, arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. That's another, that's a different prophet said that.
Okay. I just heard you say that. It caught me. I'm like, overfed.
They,
okay.
They're just like we are today.
Oh, my God.
But I think we're on question number 14. Yep. So the question is, where have all the godly people gone?
Would there be 7-2?
Yes. Would you read that, please?
Yes, ma'am. The godly people have all disappeared. Not one honest person is left on the earth. They are all murderers, setting traps even for their own brother. Amen?
Amen.
Wow.
You read 7:1-4 in the footnotes, too.
Okay, please read that. Thank you.
Well, I got that.
Micah could not find an honest person anywhere in the land. Even today,
oh, wow.
Fair-minded, uprighteous, honesty, integrity is difficult to find. Society realizes sin, rationalizes sin, and even believers sometimes compromise Christian principles in order to do what they want. It is easy to convince ourselves that we deserve a few breaks, especially when everyone else is doing it. But the standards for honesty come from God, not society. We are to be honest because God is true, and we are to be like him. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Times 10.
Right.
Thank you,
Lord. Yes.
That's for real, okay. What you just read.
Right. Yeah. You know, it seems like today that even the church is starting to take its cues from the world. Like on all kinds of issues, we are starting to look to the world to see if something is okay or not. No, we still have a Bible, and the Bible, that's one thing I love about it. It never changes. It never gets amended. It never gets updated. It's always the same. So whatever God said, whenever he said it, it still means that today. But again, the church is starting to take positions and take its clues from the way the world, the culture around it is acting. And so they start to mimic the culture. That's what happened to Israel. They were supposed to be a vanguard, for the Lord and to show people how to live for the Lord and how righteousness looks. But what did they do? They would go and get close to people and then become those people. You ever notice this, that when a strong Christian gets with a weak Christian, a mature Christian marries an immature or hangs with an immature Christian, or a Christian person marries an unchristian person, you ever notice how the Christian people get snatched away, but the Christian unchristian don't get snatched in? The unmarried, the unchristian husband snatches away the Christian wife. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it never seems like the Christian convinces the non-Christian to become a Christian, or the immature convinces the immature to become mature. The mature start to act immature. I think those things happen because we love people, places, things, and thoughts more than we love God. And I think living for the Lord is a big thing. It's a big call on us because it calls us to be absolutely loyal to him, to only trust, lean, and rely on him. And that's the problem because we love people. We love our loved ones. And here Jesus is saying you can't love wife, husband, children, mother, father, sisters, brothers, family, or friends more than me. If you do, you're not worthy of me. What does he mean? Is he really being that strict about our loyalty to him? Yes, he is. Remember when he told Aaron and the rest of his family not to even mourn for, wasn't it Hophni and for Nahas who did the strange fire and the Lord wiped them out in the temple? Well, in the tabernacle, and told them, don't even mourn in front of the people. Don't shed one tear. they had to show complete loyalty to God. I think today that a lot of pastors are becoming way too compromising, just to get along, just to go along. And plus, we've built these big giant edifices that we say God told us to build, and then it gets hard to support all of that. And so we start shifting our values to get money to pay for this stuff, and then we don't want to preach no more because somebody might get upset and leave the church. So we don't want to stand for the Lord no more because it costs. Like Jesus, when he in John chapter 6 started saying, I'm the bread of heaven that come down. Moses gave you something that would be gone by the next day. I'm the bread that lasts forever. You eat me, you're going to live forever. Well, the people didn't quite understand him because he was making himself equal with God, and so they became offended in his humanity. And it says that many of those who were following him walked away. And then we looked at the 12 and said, will you also go? And, of course, Peter steps forward and said, where are we going? You got the words of life. So we in. We ride or die. So, but like he said to even them, to the 12, didn't I choose the 12 of you, and yet one of you is a devil? And so for us as Christians, you know, it's not like God going to ever get rid of us. If we've accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we in to the end. Because he's got us, we win, right? Because he's not going to lose one. Okay, Jesus said, those the Father gave me, I ain't going to lose one. So we in. But the thing becomes, how much of the image and likeness of our Father in heaven, not God, but our Father in heaven, because everybody is made in the image and likeness of God, but how many of us are in the image and likeness of Christ, who is completely loyal to his Father, even on pain of death? So that's the goal for us, is to not to become like Israel. I mean, we followed them in this Bible reading class. We followed them from before they were born with Abraham, them, you know, and then they became a nation, and then under Moses, and then they've just been just crazy ever since, even up to this day.
Crapped out.
All these prophets prophesying to them because God wants them to go another way so they can be his bright light in the world, but they just get darker and darker. And so that's the message to us today, is to, especially with the revelation we have that they don't, as we discussed earlier, they didn't even know about a rapture. So they didn't have what we have. It's a sin and a shame for us to be as spiritually immature as we are and disloyal to Jesus as we are with the revelation that we have. That's why I believe what Dr. Tony Evans was talking about a couple of Sundays ago, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, there's going to be some people there who are not going to receive very much because they simply just did not do very much. They got saved and still did their own thing. But the Lord rewards the things he told us to do. And, you know, and we, you know, so the goal for us is to not to become like Israel. You know, like the Bible says, the New Testament, these things were written for an example to us that we would not disrespect God or diss God like they did. Because God always wants us positioned. Jesus always wants us positioned so he can pour 100% into us. Even though none of us are perfect and probably won't get 100% on any given day, but he wants to be able to pour into us continuously. And every time we go left, he can't bless that. We can have a whole day that Jesus can't bless nothing in it except that he gave it to us. Because we just dissed him. We deny yourself, take up the cross, follow me. Every morning I pray the same prayer for me, for the church, for Running for Christ, for my brothers and sisters in Christ, my family and friends, children and grandchildren. Same prayer that we all do that. Get up and what will, well, you know, live the word today. Don't get up and say, Lord, what will you have me to do? Because then he'll say, what did I tell you to do? I told you. What did I tell you? I told you, go and preach the gospel to every creature. I told you to teach them what I taught you. I told you to help those who are in or outside the body of Christ. You got 24 hours to do that. Let's go. I told you on your job to work like you're working for me. Let's go. So I made you steward over everything you have. So let's get clean. And if the house need to be, could Jesus come over your house and say, wow, you keep your house up nice? Can Jesus get in your car and say, wow, you take good care of your automobile? You know, think about everything we have. He made us steward over. If he came to see how we're treating what he gave us, what would his evaluation be like?
I'm working on the best.
You know, I love, every time I go in my shed, I'm like, well, Jesus, I sold most of the stuff. I'm getting rid of the rest of it. He's like, what are you, a hoarder? Hoarder. That's what you are. You're a hoarder. I'm not a hoarder, Jesus. I just thought I needed it. But anyway, you know, think about it like that, that everything the Lord gives us, you know, if he came to inspect everything he's given us, the house, the car, the clothes, the bank account, how are we treating what he gives us? With contempt,
yes,
by not taking care of it, or with respect? Even if it's just, you know, just one little mule. You just got one little mule. But you take care of that mule like it's the best one on the planet. And when Jesus come to inspect that one little mule, he say, you know what? You've been faithful over this one little mule. I got a whole flock over here. I need you to take care of this whole flock of them. Because he won't just give you another mule. If you remember the story, he blessed them exponentially. He said, you've been faithful over a few things. Come on, enter your master's joy. I'm going to make you master over many things. So if you take care of that one little raggedy hoopy car that Jesus give you, keep it cleaner than people with a Cadillac, okay? One day he'll show up and give you something that, you know, you will count worthy of keeping clean.
Yes.
Because you'll show him great respect. Israel didn't do that. They took God for granted. And what happens is what we see happening to them. In the book of Judges, they couldn't stand against their enemies because they was crapped out, okay? They judges was crapped out. You know, their kings were crapped out. But the people didn't have to follow them. They didn't. They could have followed the Lord in spite of the whole nation going crazy. You know, you can follow the Lord. You don't have to follow the crowd. Crowd don't always go the right way.
No, they don't.
Yeah, so, you know, as I read through this, you know, all three of the books, mostly all the way to the end, but anyway, it's sad, but it's a warning. It's a blessing to us, not a warning, it's a blessing. We get a chance to see what it's like when you don't do what God tells you to do, and you belong to him. You will be just as crapped out or more crapped out than people who don't even know him.
Yeah.
And that's sad. That's the sad part, because he wants us to be the light. Listen to this. The Lord says, I give you peace. So if the Lord gives us peace, why don't we have it? The Lord says, you are the light. You are the salt. Then why are we so dim and not salty? If he says we are, why are we not? If he says, I give you peace, why don't you have it? Because it is something he's given. Jesus said, look, behold, I give you peace. Not like the world gives, but I give you a peace that the world cannot take away. Now, what has happened in the world to take away your peace? Why don't you have the peace Jesus gave you? You are the light of the world, so why are you not light? Why are you not salt? Why are you not preserving? Why are you not making more palatable seasoning? So, you know, when you read them kinds of things and he says, I give or gave, that means you have it. I gave you a dollar. What happened to it? I don't know. I must have lost it. I must have went in my pocket and came out and it fell out. I don't know what happened. I'm going to retrace my steps back. No, you wasn't a good steward over the dollar. Jesus gave it to you. You lost it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but you know how he is, right? Here, I'm going to give you another dollar. Don't you lose this one. And here you come right back 5 minutes later talking about Jesus. You're like, you did not lose that dollar in 5 minutes. Well, Jesus, I must have went in my pocket because I put it in the other one. And it just fell out. And somebody found
must
it.
Have
so,
yeah.
Okay, teacher, that's my son.
Yeah, right. You're right, man. You might have my own.
Rebecca, like, okay, I thought I was the teacher over here, but.
No. I appreciate your input, Pastor. Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome. I get preachy, though. So you got to, like, you got to be like Deacon Tate. You got to be like, okay, Pastor, that's enough of that. Well, or do like Eric. Well.
Wow.
Oh, God, melodic with it.
He's
just
saying,
melodic
hey.
In this.
I like it better like that.
That reminds me of Minister Shelley's sermon, Mother's Day. Not this year, last year, when she talked about the movie we're making. And I'm always thinking about my movie.
Yes. You know, all of that sermon is on our church website under recorded sermons. You know, I'm telling you, I am amazed. I thank God for those for the preachers that said running for Christ, because I've been listening to them now going on 2 months. And it's just a blessing to be fed like that. Good food.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know what?
You know. Yeah, last week with Pastor Tate, Janice Tate, what she preached and what Sarah preached, rejection, and then Janice followed that up with Baron. I mean, and when you got to the end, it was just like so powerful. Why? Because how many times have you thought it was over? It ain't going to happen. This is it. Right. This is what life has for me. And every woman that she talked about that was barren, okay? Every single one of them just tried and tried and just went through, especially Hannah with Penina just all over her, like, oh, I'm pregnant again. Oh, I ain't mean to say that to you because you can't even get pregnant, you know. But all of them who thought it was over, but every one of them kept their faith in God. And guess what? The barren conceived. And so the power there is it's never over until it's over. It's never over until God says it's over. Because at 75 years old is when he meets Abraham. So Sarah is 65. And now Abraham's 100 and Sarah's 90. And God proves this is not over until I say it's over, because the Lord can do anything. So that I love that kind of preaching, and we've been blessed. We're very blessed to have that kind of. Okay, there go another sermon. You know, and I had to turn into praise hour.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to mute myself. That's what I'm going to do.
Okay, question number 15. Where are the enemies found?
Well, I had 7-14.
Go ahead. I had
7-2-6. I thought you heard me. I had it on mute.
I just had 6. Go ahead.
Is it 2-6?
Then that's all I had was 6.
Oh,
shit. Mm-hmm. Would someone like to read where the enemies will be found?
What is this? Six is for the son of the fighting father.
You said number 6?
Yep, verse 6.
For the son despises his father, the daughter defies her mother, the daughter-in-law defies her mother-in-law. Your enemies are right in your own household.
Amen. Would someone like to read that footnote? It's chapter 7, footnote for verse
5 and 6.
If you have it.
Which one, 5 and 6?
Mm-hmm.
It says, sin had affected the government leaders and society in general. Deceit and dishonesty had even... That's not it?
Oh, go. Go ahead. I'm not sure.
Okay, it says, deceit and dishonesty had even ruined the family, the core of society. As a result, the only way left to purity the people was God's judgment. This would draw the nation back to God and restore them from the inside out.
Amen. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Okay, so that concludes our lesson on Micah chapters 1 through 7. Does anyone have any questions?
7, 1 through 4 has a highlight on it in the footnote.
Okay, if you would like to read that, that would be great.
It says, okay, it says, Micah could not find an honest person anywhere in the land. Even today, fair-mindedness, uprightness, honesty, integrity is difficult to find Society realizes sin, and even believers sometimes compromise Christian principles in order to do what they want. It is easy to convince ourselves that we deserve a few breaks, especially when everyone else is doing it. But the standards for honesty come from God, not society. We are to be honest because God is truth, and we are to be like him. Amen.
Thank you. Oh, I just realized we read that already, but it was good enough to read twice.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Hi, dog.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If there aren't any more questions, I would love to pray us out, unless we do announcements first. Why can't I remember?
Right. Okay, you got it. You remember. Okay, I got just a few announcements, or a couple. Just Saturday, coming up this Friday, is Bring Back the Family, right, at 7 o'clock. Get involved in the conversation. And then Saturday, Pastor Terrence Tate will be preaching. And I mean Pastor Jonathan Tate. I think it's first Saturday, yeah. So it'll be Pastor Jonathan Tate. And, of course, this Sunday begins Men of God Month. And Minister Richard Overall from Word of Faith, from such shows as Training Day, will be the guest preacher for this Sunday when we kick off Men of God Month. Okay. And don't forget, we're coming up June 5th. It's fastly approaching. Deacon Charles Tate is going to lead us out with Upside Down Kingdom. Next week in this class, we will be in the book of Nahum and Habakkuk. And Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon will be teaching this class, but we'll be doing Nahum and Habakkuk together because both those books together make up just 6 chapters. So, that's all I have. One more. I have 2 more student books. 2 student books for the new class coming up on June 5th. If anybody needs a student book, let me know. Those are available because after that, the link to get the book is posted on the Bible class page. All you have to do is click that link, and they will send the book right to your house. Okay, but I have 2. If somebody needs a student book, for the Wednesday night classes coming up.
All right, awesome. Let us pray.
Deaconess Rebecca.
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry. Can I interrupt you for a second? Could you please pray for my family? My cousin passed away this past week, and her daughters were coming from California, and one of her daughters has mental problems, and she slit her wrist and slit her throat.
Hmm.
And she's in the hospital at St. Joseph's in Ypsilanti. So please pray for them and pray for us while we pray for them and minister to them.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord, thank you for all those that listened and all those that contributed to the discussion. We thank you for Pastor O and his obedience to produce this show and giving us repeated opportunities to store up heavenly treasures, and more than that, a chance to grow in the knowledge of you. Thank you for the fellowship we enjoyed as we looked into your word. And we would like to ask for that you bless and keep and protect Mother Marilyn's family and all those that are brokenhearted, and cause them to draw closer to you and give them a new understanding of you and open their eyes so that they can enjoy the peace that you have given us all. And we ask this and all these things in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Prayer definitely makes a difference. You know, I had a man who I like to think of as a miracle man, Deacon Malone. He was the man I went to visit with my pastor one day and wrote off as dead and gone. But a couple of weeks later, we went to visit him again. I told my pastor, you know, my pastor said, well, let's pray, because he is on there plugged up, looked like a transformer. He had so many machines on him. So I'm like, well, we can go ahead and pray, but, you know, it's a wrap. But so we prayed and we left. And, you know, we went back 2 weeks later, and he was sitting up in the bed eating. And I'm just staring at him, and he looked at me. And, you know, he called me what Reverend Brown used to call me. He said, what's going on, bud? I said, you. You know, I didn't know I was about to say you were dead. And here you are, you know. So I never did. I believe that really taught me to pray for no matter what I see, pray for complete healing and restoration, and leave it up to God. Trust God with whatever He does, but be like David, lay on the floor and pray. And I'll never forget what David said. He said, "Who knows? The Lord might have mercy." Because, see, the prophet had told David, your son not going to live. He's going to die. But David prayed anyway, even though the prophet said that. And it was those words that David spoke, because we can always appeal to God's mercy. For instance, the book Eric Reed, Deacon Reed, just taught us, Jonah, remember him? Jonah went and preached that message to them crappy people, and them crappy people said, you know what? They changed their ways. And Jonah wasn't real happy about it, but still, they changed. And then the Lord said, well, what I was going to do, I'm not going to do, because they're not doing what I was going to punish. So that's where David, who knows, the Lord might have mercy. You know, if my people call by my name would do this, this, and this, then I'll hear. And that's why Jonah was like, hey, I knew how you was. So I didn't even want to come down here. That's why I was willing to die than come here. Because if these people just turn halfway towards you, you'd be like, come on in. So, so believe, just keep believing. Until God show you something different, keep believing for complete healing and restoration, no matter what you see. If it's the widow named son on the way to the cemetery, if Jesus say, let's pray, Don't be Martha and Mary talking about, Lord, he's dead. He's stinking up in there. We ain't rolling away no stone. We get sick out here. Just whatever yeah. Jesus tells you, just wait and see what he does. But then
Amen.
Here's the thing. Whatever he decides, go with that.
Yeah.
Rebecca, I don't know how you keep me preaching like this. Oh, this is Mother Marilyn's fault. You got me preaching. Yeah. So everybody is their fault. I would.
Okay. I accept the blame for the mini sermon. We need all the mini sermons we can get.
We need it. Yes. Yes.
And of course, Deacon Eric Reed just letting it happen. He could have stopped all that.
Nothing.
All he
I'm
had
listening.
To say was, well, that's all he had to say.
No, okay, no, I'm with him. I take the mini sermons too.
Okay, everybody.
Thank
this is Law Talk World. It's all their fault. I'm innocent. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay.
Well.
Everybody Amen. Have a good evening. Oh, now I get a well. Okay. Y'all have a good evening.
Have a blessed evening.
Yeah. Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
ooh. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh.
And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. I got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today,
so fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah. I'm gonna be joyful. I got the joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy, joy down in my heart. Today, today.